All right, let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for being good to us and just loving us. Lord, you give us purpose in life even when we feel like we're lost. You give us direction even when we feel like we don't know the way to go. And Lord, there's a lot of things going on right now. There's a lot of things in people's lives that are happening. People are overjoyed. People are oversorrowed. There is a lot happening. And that's what happens in a church that is busy about your work. You're going to have all the things going on. If everything was great, Lord, I would be concerned because the devil's not okay with us getting traction in the kingdom of God. And so I do pray that we would keep our minds focused on where they need to be. We would keep our noses in the Word of God, and that we would just be prayed up. There's a lot happening. We're stepping into, I know it feels like we've been in a busy season, but we're stepping into a season here at HBF over the next couple months that is extra busy. And Lord, we know that you have a lot of things on your agenda for us to do and for us to be a part of. And I pray that we would stay prayed up, that we would first and foremost be children of you, and that the overflow of that would be the ministry that we're a part of and the things that, we do outside of that. And so, Lord, I pray you'd speak to us today. We are finally going to finish up the family life study today. Lord, just give us direction. I'm really excited, and I'm really almost intimidated by what's next and what you've got us, the direction you have us going and going and doing. And so, Lord, I pray you'd speak to us today. Just get the honor and the glory for all of it. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, so we really are going to finish this study today. I know that it was supposed to be a short 8-week study, and well, that's just what happens. But I think it's been really good going back over just the things that we have been able to look at, the things that God has, you know, really said, hey, this is what's really important. And so I do pray that as you have some time, go back and just kind of refresh yourself on these things, because as we step into the book of Jonah, which is where we're going, so next week we don't have class, right? Be here for sunrise service if that's something you want to do, and then the week of the vision conference, that's actually a perfect week to jump into the book of Jonah, because if you've never been a part of a vision conference, and I know y'all have been here for one, but like, when I say be a part of it, I mean like bought into what God is doing. I'm going to be here as much as I can because I really feel like God is downloading some stuff. Like, some of the biggest spiritual decisions I've ever made in my life came during or right after a vision conference week. And it's just when God really, not that he can't anytime, but when you just overflow yourself with the Word of God and with the teaching of God and with the preaching of God, that's just what happens. And so I could give you a lot of testimonies. What? Yeah, for sure, mountaintop moments. And so just be sensitive to that. So anyway, it's a really good week for us to start the book of Jonah, because it's going to get us as a class. This will be like the kickoff, because after that, you've got, you know, church Sunday morning, you got church Sunday night, there's church, you know, there's some sessions Monday and Tuesday mornings if you want to get on those, there's stuff Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night. It's like an overabundance of it, you know, and some people are like, wow, that's a lot. By the time you leave here, you're going to wish there was more, because like that's how serious God is about what he's doing. And so anyway, all that being said, I'm really excited about where we're going, but we need to finish this up. And so last week we started this last session on basically social life and what that looks like, you know. And so I ask you the question, what is my normal everyday, is a question that you could ask yourself, what does my normal everyday social life look like, right? And we kind of looked at what does that even mean, and I don't want to reteach all of this because I really want to get to the last two points and wrap this up and put a bow on it. But what does that even mean, right? And so it just is simply how we interact daily with those we encounter and those we spend our time with. You have an opportunity to be around people, whether you like it or not. If you're someone who stays at home, you're still around people. You're still around your family. You're still around the things that are going on. If you go to work, it's an abundance of people at times. And, you know, how do you interact with those people? That is what social life is. Now, in the culture we live in today, we have taken what social life should be, actually talking to someone face to face, and we have, I don't know any other way to say it, we have dumbed it down so much that we can have entire relationships with people that we've never met and we really know nothing about other than what they post, right? And we'll get to that soon enough, but it's just completely mind-boggling to me. But anyway, maybe it's, I don't know, we'll get there. But I gave you a couple examples because this is where I really wanted to get to. And, you know, I use the example of Christ. I use the example of Paul, you know, and then just basically somebody in your life that you really respect. And I boiled it all down to just think about how they lived their life. You know, Christ himself, the Apostle Paul, maybe just think of somebody in your life, maybe somebody who discipled you, somebody who has had an influence on your life. And just think about the way that they go about their daily life and the way that they interact with people and the way that they, you know, just do the things. And we look at that and we're like, man, I really wish I could live my life that way. I really wish that I could make the right decisions. I could take the right steps. I could say the right things. I could not say the things that I shouldn't have said, right? A lot of times I have these moments where it's just like, it's really hard once the words are out there to like bring them back in. You just can't do it. But sometimes it's, you learn from those things and it's like, yeah, I really probably shouldn't have said that or done that or whatever else. And so the whole point is, there's something that they have that you don't. That's what we think in our minds. Oh, well, these people, they've got something that I don't, right? They've got some extra spiritual blood in their veins, right? They've got some extra Jesus juice that they drink in the mornings, right? It's like spiritual pre-workout. You know, you take it before you go and do your thing. And some of you guys know what I'm talking about with pre-workout. Brenton's got me on this stuff and I'm like, it's crazy. It gets you all hyped up. So anyway, when you contrast your life to theirs, do you realize, and if you were here last week, you know, the only thing that's different between them and you, between Jesus Christ when he was on the, okay, Jesus was sinless, but let's talk about the Apostle Paul or somebody you really look up to. The only difference between them and you, their follow through, they have the same Holy Spirit you've got. You have no less Holy Spirit than they did if you're saved today. Now, if you're not saved, I'm not saying you're off the hook because you know you should get saved, right? You know you should take that step and give your life to Christ. But if you're saved, you have all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. So the only way to allow the Holy Spirit to be more in your life is to feed it more, right? It's like going to the gym. I can really want to tone my body up, to lose some weight, to do whatever it is that you know, your goals are to do that. But I actually have to follow through with it. I can have intentions all the day long, but it's never going to do me any good unless I actually take those steps. And so they're no different. The people that you look up to spiritually, they're no different than you other than they have more follow through than they do, right? You have the same spirit and the same book. So what's the difference? You are the difference, right? I used a comparison, you know, basically some people are just naturally gifted in sports. Okay, that's one thing. Some of you were better than pickleball than I was, right? I'll give it to you. I'm going to practice and then we'll see how it goes, right? I don't like, this is just a pride thing. I don't like not being the best at whatever I do. And so it was not good for me. We'll talk about that later. It's coincidentally, Jackson never won until I was his partner, but I don't know. We can talk about that at a different time. That's not, anyway. That was really fun to do, just to get out and to laugh and to have a good time. And, you know, sometimes life is just, it's serious. Life is, it's full of hard things. I'm not here to tell anybody that it's not. Sometimes it's good to laugh, right? And that's what I really like about Past Point is we're all going through the same things, right? For the most part, we're in the same, and I think what's interesting is I say we're in the same season of life and we've got people from 18 to probably 60. And I still think we're all in the same season of life because we're just trying to do what the Word of God tells us to do. And so that's what I really like about the Past Point class. So anyway, all of that, right? And so some of us are naturally gifted at certain things, but you're not any more naturally spiritually gifted than anyone else. The only thing keeping you from being what God has called you to be is your follow through. And so that's kind of where I wanted to get to. And so last week I gave you three questions. We only got through the first one that will reveal who your social life is giving glory to. Wow, I can't talk. Three questions that will reveal who your social life is giving glory to. The first one we went through, and I'm not going to reteach it. You can go back and listen to it, is does the world love you or hate you? Right? I used the passage that the Not of This World brand takes their stuff from. And basically Jesus says, hey, if the world loves you, there's probably an issue with that because you're just going with the flow. You got to be something different to actually get something done for Christ. Steve Miller sent me a YouTube link the other day. It was talking about basically only a dead fish can go with the flow, right? Only a dead fish. And I was like, that's really interesting, right? And it takes a dead fish to go with the flow. Well, what are we if we're lost? We're spiritually dead, right? Or if we've backslidden, we're basically spiritually dead in the sense of, right? if you're going to be alive for Christ and actually do something for Christ, you know what it's going to take? Work. It's going to take your involvement, your doing. That's just what happens. And so if you just want to go with the flow of life, well, I guess you're going to have to die. And, well, I'm not going to get into that. So number two, I got to get going. So number two, the second thing that will reveal who your social life is giving glory to is, am I a stepping stone or a stumbling block? Flip over to Romans chapter 14. I want to get into some word here. And we've looked at this actually not too awful long ago when we were teaching through Romans. But I want to hit this and then we're going to hit what everybody wants to talk about at the end. So am I a stepping stone or a stumbling block? Romans chapter 14 is this passage on Christian liberty, right? And so basically the first portion of the chapter, it's just Paul, he's encouraging the believers and he's like, hey, if you're strong in the faith, make sure that, you're living like you're strong in the faith and make sure you're not tripping up those who, you know, aren't so strong in the faith. And if you want to get the complete context on all this, go back a few months ago when we were teaching through Romans and we expounded on Romans 14 and Christian liberty and, right, the whole thing. Because I don't want to get it. We spent multiple weeks talking about what is and isn't okay for you as a Christian to do. And basically it boils down to what's your conscience telling you, right? Unless the Word of God is completely explicitly saying, don't do that. I get it. There's things that you can do, but is it the wisest thing for you to do in the situation you're in? And that whole thing. So that's kind of what he gets through. But anyway, fast forward down to verse 12 because I don't have time to read the whole chapter to you, but, Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, he says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. I think we agree to that, right? If you're saved today, you're going to give an account at the judgment seat of Christ, right? That's where you answer for what the things that you did or didn't do with the time that you had after you got saved, only after you got saved. Your sin is already covered. It's dealt with. It's taken care of. It's on the cross. You now have the perfect blood of Christ, okay? If you're lost today, you'll be at the Great White Throne. That's not a place you want to be. We can talk about that later. I feel like most of us in here are headed in the right direction, so I need to keep going. If you're lost, you need to get saved. Anybody in here, just letting you know. If you want to know why, come and talk to me after, and I'll completely let you know. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Notice he says anymore, meaning you have been in the past, right? You've been looking at other people saying, why are they doing that? They probably shouldn't be doing that. And well, what are they doing? And stop worrying about what everybody else is doing. Hey, but judge this rather, let no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Basically what he's saying is, unless the Bible has explicitly, and there's very, honestly, as a New Testament believer, there are very few things that the Bible says you can't do, that you should not do that. Now, there's a lot of things that the world or modern Christianity says, hey, you ought not do that. And in some situations, they might be correct. I'm not here to be dogmatic, and we can have that conversation at a different time. But what Paul is saying is, there's actually nothing in and of itself that's unclean. It's the heart behind having or doing whatever that is that makes it unclean. And the tripping up of somebody else by doing it. This is what he's talking about. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, meaning at this time in culture, there were certain meats that they couldn't eat. Man, poor saps couldn't even have bacon. It was messed up, right? Bacon makes everything better. And basically what he's saying is, I understand that there's nothing in and of any meat that makes it unclean, but the heart behind it. And what he's saying is, if thy brother be grieved, and so basically if he comes by and you're having this and he thinks, oh, you shouldn't have that, then what have you done? You've now caused some sort of an issue in his brain or whatever else, and so it might just be better to not, at least around them. Right? But destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in the good things serveth Christ and acceptable unto God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after these things which make for peace and after things wherewith one may edify another. Yes, I understand. It is completely lawful for you to... You fill in the blank. I'm not giving you examples today. I know what you're wanting. Not doing it. We've had these conversations, right? But is it edifying the people around you when you do them, right? I don't know. And it just kind of depends. At the time, you got to know the time and the place. You got to know the circumstances. You got to know what's going on, okay? If I know, I'll give you an example, right? It's not the example you all are wanting, but I'm going to give you an example. If I know that I have a brother... Okay, so it's not... it's not mysterious that Phil has really worked hard to transform the way that him and his family are leading their lives, right? And I saw a picture that Paige showed me on Facebook the other day, because we'll talk about this in a minute, but I don't have Facebook, and Phil's lost a lot of weight, right? And so here's an example of what this could look like. If I know that Phil's trying to make really healthy choices, right? It's a fool of me to know that I can have whatever I want. Cheesecake, cookies, all of the things, right? But to invite Phil over and be like, hey man, we're having a dessert party. You want to come? Right? Yeah. I get it. I get it. But what I'm saying is, if you know that you have a brother that is working hard to overcome something in their life, I'm not saying that there's nothing wrong with cheesecake in my life. Now, a whole one at once, that might be a problem, but, you know, that's for me to decide and deal with on my own. But what I'm saying is, whatever the issue is, why would you, just because you have quote-unquote liberty, yeah, you do, I know, to do those things, why would you put your brother or your sister or whatever it is in a situation where it's like, yeah, if you were a little more holy, you would understand that you could have this too. You're a fool, and that's what I'm telling you, to even think like that. Yes, I understand all things are lawful, and all things are okay. Don't be controlled by anything is what the Word of God says. You want to, I'm not going there. You want to do those things? Don't be controlled by them, right? And make sure you're not causing anybody to stumble. So what I want to get to, I don't have time to read all that, but liberty is great to those who understand they have it. But if you don't understand you have liberty, it's really hard and it could really trip you up. I've seen young Christians in the Lord never be able to get past certain things that maybe they've come out of in their life because they just don't know when they should or shouldn't or can't. And the mature believers around them are acting more immature than they are in the sense that they just think, oh, I can do it whenever. And, you know, if you just would grow up a little bit, you would understand. And it's like, no, if you had any sense in your life, you would understand that you shouldn't even be considering that around them. You're here to edify, to help grow. Right? Here's a question. Do my actions or choices help others grow or help them fall? Because honestly, some of us in here, your actions are helping people fall. You might think you're doing it in the sense of holiness, but what you're doing is you're causing people to fall. You're causing people to trip. And that's on you. You will answer for that at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not saying, I'm just telling you, that's how this works. It's not all about us. I know, you know, we like Burger King because you can have it your way, but that's not how this is, right? You don't get to have it your way all the time. Sometimes you have to suffer your flesh and say, yes, I know it's okay for me to do that. I know it would be totally fine for me to have that, but not right now. Not here. Not in this situation. Not in this season of life. Not in this whatever it is, because all it's going to do is cause issues with the people that I'm around. Now, I know that I'm completely fine between me and the Lord, but we are supposed to be a good testimony. Right? We're supposed to do these things and make sure that, are your actions or choices helping other people grow or helping them fall? It's not about you. Think about it this way, because I feel like there's somebody in here who's not quite tracking with me. Right? We are the, are you good? The room is like really heavy this way. I really think I need some people to move over here, and I'm kidding, but.
Yeah, that's what I was doing.
I'm just. Anyway, for real, I really feel like we could buy some pickleball nets. They can't be that expensive, and like some good ones. And the same way we have a volleyball league, we could have a pickleball league in the summer, right out here in the parking lot. I'm not saying, but these things have been rolling through my head. It has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Anyway. Pave, right. Let's not talk like this right now. You're causing your brother to stumble. And we're the body of Christ, correct? We all know that we're members in particular. We're all called to do different things in the body, right? Some of us are like the right arm of the body of Christ, and you get to do the things of the right arm. Some of you, so I just picked up a guitar yesterday. I've been telling myself I want to learn the guitar for a long time, and I'm going to do it, right? So I convinced Brenton to learn it with me because he already is like a master at the drums. So I'm like, hey, you got to learn how to do this with me. Keep me accountable. And my fingers hurt so bad today. Like so bad. I wasn't going to say a bad word, but anyway, I don't just say bad words, but like I almost said freaking bad. And so my fingers hurt so bad. Some of us are like the fingertips of the body of Christ, right? Some of us are, you know, you fill in the blank. We are the body. It's a picture, right? Go to the, I think it's the book of Galatians that talks about that. But we're the body of Christ, okay? All of these things. So, some of you in here have been, let's just take Jody, for example, because it's kind of hard to hide what she's got going on right now, right? She's got the crutches and the knee brace and whatever. And last year at volleyball, my wife tore her calf muscle, right? Just completely tore it. Mickey rolled her ankle here recently, all these things. So what happens to your body when part of it gets hurt? You roll your ankle. What do you naturally do, right? If you have an ankle that's messed up, you still have to do life. What do you naturally do for a while?
Compensate.
You compensate. You limp, right? You walk around with a limp. And it's not just to get people to look at you. You're doing it because it takes less pressure off of the part that hurts, right? You're taking less pressure off of the weak point of the body until it has time to grow back to its natural state, to heal back to where it came from, right? That's what your natural body does. You didn't have to teach it to do that. It knew how to do that all on its own, right? I've already noticed that, like, my hand has realized that, hey, your fingertips hurt really bad. So use different parts of your fingers, right? Not to play, but just to do normal life. I'm like, okay. That's my body taking its natural instincts and saying, hey, this is not good. Why do we then, as the body of Christ, not do that spiritually? We see that we have an area in our body, meaning a brother or sister that's struggling with an issue, something. Why do we not look around and say, hey, I can see that that part of the body, it's really swollen right now, right? It's really hurting right now. It's really got something going on. There's something that, like, hey, if I just actually opened up my spiritual eyes for a second, hey, there's an issue. You know what we're going to do? We're going to overcompensate to help them heal, to help them grow, to help them get back to their full strength so that they can get back to doing what they need to do. Because if you walk for a limp your entire life, you're going to realize that you do it without even thinking, right? And there was no healing that went on. If you're always using your quote unquote Christian liberty to get out there and do the things and do all the things and, you know, just, you're a fool because you're not helping the parts of the body that need to grow and to learn and to do those things. And so if your body naturally can do those things, why can't we just actually open up our eyes a little bit and be like, hey, I see that there's an issue here. And instead of me just pressing on with life and doing the things and, hey, this is what's got to happen. And why can't we just be like, hey, I see that there's an issue. Let's be sensitive. It would have been totally fine for me to, you fill in the blank, but I'm not going to do it now. Not here. Not with what's going on. Because it's going to help them. It's going to help my foot not, you know, completely do whatever, you know, whatever it is. We've got to be a little more sensitive, guys. And I'm not talking to anybody in particular, but I mean, just in general, Christianity, we've got to be a little more sensitive. We've got to be, if your body can do it, you are the body of Christ. So why can't we do it? Why can't we? All right. The third thing. I told you we were going to finish today. So the second one, am I stepping stone or a stumbling block? And then the third one. How am I using my influence? Third question you can ask yourself. How am I using my influence? We live in a culture. We live in a world where people have decided that instead of actually getting a job and working for what they do, they can be what the world calls influencers. I just can't wrap my mind around this. Basically, what you're telling me you want to do is you want to go and do all the things that I want to do, and you're going to tell me about it. And if you tell me about it, this is what I should or shouldn't do. And in the meantime, you want basically the world to pay for it is how that works, right? And because we're so addicted, I used the word, we're so addicted to social media and what just flies in front of our face that we're paying for it without even knowing it. Because the fact that you can't put it down and say, no, that's stupid, because I think it's stupid. That's just me. I think it's dumb. If I wanted to try it, I would go and try it. If I wanted to try it, I would ask somebody who's actually done it that I know and I can trust. But by just continually consuming these things, you're paying for it, right? Because the ad companies are like, well, this is what they're watching, so we're going to pay them to do it, right? We live in a culture where people, they have their entire life wrapped around being an influencer, to influence someone, right? To do these things. Now, coincidentally enough, the Word of God calls you the same thing. Christian, you're an influencer. You are the same thing. The problem is, you guys don't use your influence the way you should. Now, I'm not talking to anyone. I'm talking about the body of Christ. We don't use our influence like we should. We were the original. Christ came up with the mold. He was like the original. This is what an influencer should do. And the world, they just stole it and took it and perfected it. Because Christians aren't doing it right, so why not? We'll make something of it. We got to talk about this, right? I absolutely, and this is just my own personal opinion, right? This is not me using my Christian liberty to try to make you stumble whatsoever. I personally think social media is absolutely, I don't even know the word to use. I think it's terrible, right? I think it's, I think it is a cancer in the culture that we live in. That is my own personal opinion, right? I understand people could argue with me till they were blue in the face about how there's so many benefits and how the Word of God is being proclaimed and this, that, and the other. And I promise you're going to have to struggle to find to show me what you're talking about because there's so much other stuff you got to get through first. Right? There's a little bit of good in all the bad, right, if you look hard enough. Now, that's my own personal opinion. I'm not here to tell anybody that they shouldn't have it. My wife's got that stuff, right? And there's benefits to it. The question is, how am I using my influence, right? How am I using my influence? Flip over to the book of Acts, chapter 26. The Apostle Paul, he had some influence, right? I think we all could agree to that if you know anything about the Apostle Paul. He had some influence on a lot of things that happened in his life, the situations around him. But there's a story in this with the Apostle Paul that I just always come back to. Because just because you have a lot of influence doesn't mean that it's going to lead to a lot of decisions, right? Just because you've got a lot of influence, you've got a lot of knowledge, you've got a lot of testimony, doesn't mean that it's ever going to lead to a lot of decision in somebody's life. Because at the end of the day, you have no impact on who and who doesn't get saved. You only have impact on who you share it with. Acts chapter 26, let's start in verse 24. Well, I'm in the book of Romans, so give me a second to get there. Acts chapter 26, starting in verse 24. So Paul, he's been bouncing around, he's sharing the gospel, and now he's got the opportunity to share the gospel with some really important people, right? Some, like, really important people. Acts chapter 26 and verse 24. Okay. He says, "And as he thus spake for himself, Festus," so Festus, he's head of the council, right? He's there, he's like the judge on what's going on. So he's Paul is before King Agrippa, he's before Festus, and anyway, I want to fast forward. He basically just had this really, the entire chapter of 26 is Paul making his plea for these people to get saved. This is who I was, right? This is where I came from. This is my testimony. This is what Christ did. All of these things. He presented all the facts and did a really good job of it, right? Especially in the situation that he was in. A lot of people would crumble under the weight of who he was getting to talk to, right? He had the opportunity to maybe make a plea for himself to not need to be in prison, because that's basically where he was at this time. He was bound, right? He was like under house arrest is what we would call it. And he could have used this time to be like, "Hey, I was a Jew from the get-go and made his plea to free me out of here." And he could have even done it with godly intentions. "If I got out of here, I would have more liberty to go and share the gospel with more people, but I can't do that right now," because we always like to twist our prayers to God. We're like, "Yeah, God, if you just gave me this, then I would use all that freedom or all that liberty or all that money that you gave me, I would totally use that for you." That's what we do. And so anyway, he didn't do that though. He's in front of these guys, these really prominent, powerful people that could have freed him, and instead he used it to share the gospel, to say, "Hey, y'all need to get saved." And so you get to verse 24. "And as he thus spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, 'Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad.'" So Festus is like, "This dude is crazy." That's basically what he just said. "I don't know where you come up with all this stuff. You are a lunatic," right? Okay, that's what most of the world is going to say. If you're going out knocking on doors today, you will have someone today, mark my word, that tells you you're crazy, right? In some way or another, they will tell you, you are off your rocker. Praise the Lord, right? That's where we should be. Anyway, verse 25, "But he said, Paul, I'm not mad, most noble Festus." This is just like the way he says that. "But speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For thus thing was not done in a corner." Like, this wasn't hidden. This was out in the open. The whole thing happened. Jesus lived, he died, he was perfect, he was sinless. "King Agrippa, Paul's like, Festus, obviously you think I'm crazy. It's like if you're trying to share the gospel with somebody and you've got this other person in the background, that's like, I can already tell you are from the devil. All you're doing is just like spouting off things, and it's like, would you just shut your mouth for a minute so I can ask this person what they really think about the truth that was presented to him. So Paul's like, I'm not mad, Festus. Could you just hold on a minute? Let me talk to King Agrippa, right? The real authority here. He says, King Agrippa, verse 27, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, this is what most of the world says, right here. This is what most of the world will say when you present the gospel to them. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And we read that verse and we're like, man, if I would have just said it this way, done it this way. And you know what? That's not what that verse is trying to tell you. That verse is trying to tell you, you've done everything you can do. It's a hard issue for me at this point. Almost persuadest thou to me to be a Christian. Meaning, you've done everything you can do. You've presented it. It's truth. At this point, it's a hard issue on my point. And I'm just not there yet. Almost persuadest. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except in these bonds. Right? And so basically, that he's laid this whole thing out. And Paul's using his influence to get it where it needs to, get the gospel where it needs to go. And you know what happens? Sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes it doesn't happen. Sometimes it just doesn't play out the way that we think it should. But he was obedient. We can't address social life without addressing social media. Right? There's so many different, I don't even know what they call them. Right? There's like TikTok, and we're going to take TikTok away because China's running it. And I'm like, I promise you can have an American company run it. It's still as freaking toxic as it is from anybody else, right? We've got, I don't even know what these things do. Do they all do the same thing? Right? I text somebody that was of the generation younger than me, which I hate even saying that because I feel old, but I text somebody today, you know, the text message. It took me a long time to learn how to do that. And I couldn't get a response. And I'm like, Is this not how kids respond? Like, is this not how the world responds? And I asked one of my kids, and they're like, no, they only use, what's the thing? Snap. I'm like, is it not the same thing? Like, you're doing the same thing. It's just, and it's like, yeah, but that's the only thing that they use. And I'm like, I just don't understand. Like, if I would just pick up the phone and call you, but you won't answer. So what's the point? Better yet, I'll just talk to you. But like the culture we live in, it's so awkward to talk to somebody face to face. They can't make eye contact with you, and they'll have a full on conversation about why you should or shouldn't do this, that, or the other on social media, and it's a messed up world we live in.
It's frustrating.
Bro. Oh. I get it. I get it.
I'm not saying.
Right.
Love you, sir.
No, it's you're correct. I wish I could come up with a really good reason.
I don't want to.
Life is it's usually not that. I really wish I could tell you guys that I had so much free time that it was just me. I don't know. I know you are. There's so much going on with social media. We have complete relationships with people that we don't even really know. If you were to actually have to have a conversation with these people, it would be the most awkward, right? That's why the generation that is growing up right now, like if you were to take away their screens, like I don't feel like they would function. I don't know how they would, they don't know how to talk to people. They don't know how to, right? They tried to take phones away in the schools and it was like outright rebellion. Right? We are not doing that. Absolutely. And it's not from the kids, it's from the parents. Oh, I gotta be able to get a hold of my kids. Oh my gosh, how did I ever survive? Like, my mom just knew that I went to school and I was gonna come home at the end of the day. Right? And I get it. Like, there's comfort in knowing I can get a hold of my kids whenever I want. The problem is they don't answer their phone when I want to call. So, that's what happens. Here's the question. Actually, let me say this first. I really do, when I say all these things, I'm not saying these things to condemn you. I'm completely blameless. I don't do this. I did the social media thing for a while back in the day, and it just consumed too much time. And it just had to be one of those things that I personally was like, I can't do it anymore. Right? I know there's benefits to it. I know that I could use it to get devotions out there. I know I could do all those things. But sometimes you have to know yourself, and you have to know when it's like, I just need to turn that off. Okay? My wife does it, and that's fine. I'm blameless here, so don't be offended, be convicted, right? I'm not here to offend anybody, be convicted if that's the case, because I honestly don't even know what you have on those things. If there's something that my wife thinks I would want to see, she shows me, right? The problem is she usually shows me when I'm driving down the road, and I'm like, I can't look at that right now. She's like, trying to show me something yesterday, and I'm like, you're going to have to show me in a little bit. I'm like, not only just driving, we're driving in the city. I hate driving in the city. So anyway.
And I usually just shove it a little closer.
Right.
So you can see it.
If your social media, let me just say this because I don't have time, and I'm not here to like. I think just bringing it up is probably the conviction that somebody needs to have. I don't know. Maybe you guys are all just using your social media to put Jesus out there and nothing else, and you're doing the influencer thing the way you should be. Praise the Lord. I hope that's the case. I hope that I sound like a fool up here talking because you guys are doing it all the right way. But just let me ask you this, and I didn't think about this as I wrote it. And then as I wrote it, I'm like, that's kind of interesting to think about that. If your social media was displayed on a screen, no, that's how social media is displayed, Jason. So I'm like, but no, I meant like, if I was to say, okay, we're going to roll in here in the sanctuary, not just in Passpoint, because y'all are like, you would laugh at yourself in here. But I'm talking about in people that we try to be respectful around, right? The other people, we laugh in Passpoint, but everybody else, they're just really uptight. And right, if we were to roll into the sanctuary and be like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take your social media from the past 2 weeks, and we're just gonna flow through them on the screen up here, right? And we're just gonna roll through it. For all those to see, who's getting the glory? I don't know. I really am blameless here, because I'm not like, man, I saw something the other day, and I'm like, I really want to use this to convict them. Like, I don't know. I'm just asking you. Because I know social media is such a huge part of the life and the world that we live in. And I'm not, if we were to all turn it off, then we probably couldn't breathe, right? It's hard to do. But if it was displayed on a screen for everyone to see, and you're like, well, it is out there for everybody to see, but only the people that you invite, really, and only the people that you want to see it. I'm talking about everybody, because we're supposed to be influencers for Christ to everybody, not just those we want to be, not just those that we think alike and are around and we enjoy being, but I'm talking about, if it was up there, who's getting the glory? I don't know. Right? If I had to guess, because I kind of understand the premise of how social media works, and you want to know the one thing that I really wish I had Facebook back for? Is Facebook Marketplace. You could buy stuff cheap, man. Now I just... anyway, it has nothing to do with... If I had to guess... Just so you know, I'm like, I'm not here to like convict you and say, if I had to guess, if I was to like say, hey, Paige, let me see your Facebook or whatever. If I had to guess, there would probably be, I don't know, we didn't talk about this. I'm just guessing. Like, if I had to guess, like, top three categories that are trying to be like put out there would be, gym workouts and things like that. Cause that's something that we kind of consume a lot of our time with, would be, growing plants of some sort of another. I don't know. And I don't know.
A lot of greenhouse ads.
Yeah. And just so things like that. So I'm not here to be like, if you have things that aren't, God, I get it. Like, I understand the way that it works and the marketing behind it. But I'm just asking, who's getting the glory for all that? Now, there's a way for God to get the glory out of all of those things if we do them correctly. So I'm just asking because I don't know. Because when we talk about our social life doesn't even exist anymore, right? We get together in a group, and like on Friday night, that's abnormal. You don't see big groups to get together anymore, right? We have like Facebook parties or something, I would guess. I don't know. But we get together in groups like, no, I want to get together and I want to laugh and I want to have conversation with people. I want to hear about what's happening in your life and, just what's happening. Hey, who'd you get to talk to this week? And oh my gosh, we're actually going to make the conversation something godly. Why would we want to do that? Who's getting the glory for it? I'm not just talking about the ones you want to show me. I'm talking about all your social media, because I know y'all, you got more than one, right? You got all the things. You got, what's it called? There's Face Space. There used to be Twitter. There's Tic Tac, and there's, what's the one? It ends the snap, right? I totally don't understand this. Here's what I really don't understand about this, and I'll be done. Because it just blows my mind. So the thought behind it is it's a text message with a picture, right? that goes away after so much time. And I'm like, that sounds dangerous.
That's Snapchat. I mean, combined all of them.
I'm talking about the ones that the kids use. They message one another through a deal that has a picture that goes away after so many seconds. And I'm like, that sounds dangerous. We'll take pictures of the things that we shouldn't show them and it'll go away. But what I really think is crazy about this thing is as I watch people do it, they don't take a picture of anything. They take a picture of the floor, right? Or and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I've been driving to work with Brenton or Brian before, and they'll like take a picture. I'm like, what are you taking a picture of? Nothing. And they're like, no, really? And then really nothing. Well, you know, before that you had that thing, they had an app called Messenger, and you could just send a text. You didn't even have to put a picture with it. It was the same thing. I just don't understand it, guys. That's what I'm saying. I personally don't understand. But what I really want to, if we used, what would happen? Just what if? And I'm way over time. What if we actually used our influence for God's glory? Because you all got a lot of influence. I'm not just saying that to push you up. You really do. You've got influence with your family. You've got influence with your friends, the people you work with. You've got influence with the people you go to church with. You guys really do. You guys have a good testimony. You have a good influence. So what if, what to God that we actually used that influence that we had for God to get the glory? I'm just saying. I don't know. Maybe y'all are like, he's just crazy and he's a dinosaur and I'm going to stay that way because that's what I feel like there's more peace. I can sleep at night better. There's certain things. I honestly prefer not to know some of the things that are going on until I have to. It's just so much better for me that way. Would to God that we actually used it for God's glory. Because I feel like there is probably a way for that to happen. And it's going to start with us. And it's going to start with you guys, because it ain't going to start with me. Not with that anyway. Let's pray. I got an assignment for you. You're like, nobody likes it. Okay, if you want to. We don't have class next week, but we're starting the book of Jonah in 2 weeks. I'm really excited about it. I feel like God's got some things in the book of Jonah that if we would grab, we could really... I want you, if you're up for the challenge, to read the book of Jonah twice before we get back together in 2 weeks. I know that is too much. You can read the entire 4 chapters of the book of Jonah in about 10 minutes. So I'm asking for about 20 minutes time over 2 weeks. Right. So just read the, if you want to really study it out, like, cause I've been reading this thing a lot, like a lot. And just read it at least a couple times. That way you're at least fresh with the story. Right? Like the kids, they're fresh. And so be fresh with the story. And John's like, dude, you're not fresh. Don't say things like that. He looked at me and just shook his head. Just read it a couple times. That way you're fresh with what's going on and you know what's happening. And we're going to get started because God's got some things that I feel like we really need. And it's going to be good. I'm excited about the book of Jonah. And I'm excited about what God is going to use the Passpoint class to do. Because if you picked up on what I just said, we've got some things to do, not just to learn, but we got some things to do. And so let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you for today. Lord, I do thank you for this study on just, you know, family life and all these different things. And we get so caught up in all the things that we have to do and we need to be doing and we should be doing and all of the just the world we live in is absolute chaos. And you've called us to be so many things, Lord. You've called us to be spouses and parents and employees and just all of these things. And we feel like at times that we've got so many balls in the air and we can't even hold one in our hand, let alone try to juggle them. And Lord, that's what this study was for. It was for us to find the basics of the basic and to start there, to know exactly in our lives what it is you've called us to do personally. Impactfully in our lives, what is it that I can do to make a difference in my marriage, in my family, in my workplace, and all of these things? And Lord, I pray that we would take some time to go back over these things as we roll into the book of Jonah. Lord, you're gaining traction. I know you are because there's friction. And when there's friction, there's traction. And so, Lord, I pray that you would use us as lights in a dark world to get the gospel where it needs to go. I pray for there's going to be a lot of doors getting knocked on today. And I pray that somebody is open to just chatting about the seriousness of the gospel and that we would just be obedient to get the word of God where it needs to go on time, whether it's today, whether it's tomorrow at work, whether it's whatever we're doing, that you would get the honor and the glory, Lord. I pray that, you know, as we evaluate just where we're at in our social life and the way that we give glory to you, that we're making sure that you are the one getting the glory and that just that all of these things would become used for the furtherance of the gospel. Because, Lord, we in and of ourselves can't save anyone, but the word of God can. We can bring everyone to the point of almost being a Christian. But they have to make that step on their own. So, Lord, I pray that we would bring them to that point and that we would be blameless in the matter. In Christ's name, amen.